Greetings to each one this morning. Good to be in the house of God again. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you just now. We look up into your face. We pray that you would just put your anointing upon your word, upon the lips of your servant. Help me to share what you have laid on my heart. Pray that you would give understanding to the listeners as well. And Lord, may it be something that is alive and well in each one of our hearts, including mine. So Lord, we look to you. Pray that your blessing would be upon us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to see each one of you here. I see it's not as big a crowd as normal, but trust we can turn our hearts to God, even though it's a smaller group. I was considering what to share, and it's one of those messages that it's a very basic message. I guess that's what I would call it. I don't have anything that you would say something new and exciting, but it's one of those things. It's good for us to take a good look at. Just to say, hey, where am I at? The title this morning, I guess I'll give that first. My focus, inward or outward? My focus, is it on me or is it on others? So, first of all, I'd like to ask a question. What changed when we become born again? What changed? And I think I'm the kind that likes to hear some response. What do you think of? What changed when you become born again? I think it was almost three people said the same thing.
Our desires.
Desires, okay? Others. New captain. I was thinking of that. What about our memory work? I will extol thee, my God, O King. What is the King? Somebody that's in charge. Lamar.
A
genuine hunger for the Word of God.
Meditate on that verse in 1 John that he who receives Christ, I don't know if I'd say for word for word, he has given him the power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe. So when we truly believe, he gives us the power to become his Son. And so
when we be
his Son, we shouldn't be focused on self interest.
Right. We are his Son. He gives us the power to be sons of God. Others.
Friends.
Our friends change.
My friends change.
Right. Gives you looking in a different direction. Those who would think more like your newfound salvation. What do you have?
Everything changes.
Everything.
Everything looks different.
You're looking through a different set of eyes. Very good. Okay. Love for God and love, what does it say? And our neighbor as ourself, those around us. That's what we want to talk about this morning. I think there's one yet that I'd like to see if somebody would come up with.
Power to love above sin.
power to live above sin.
Complete transformation of ideas of how we think, how we view life, identity.
Transformation of how we think. That's the one I was looking for. What changed when I could become born again is our attitudes. Our attitudes toward about ourselves, our attitudes towards others. Our mind is changed, our actions are changed, our focus is changed from self to others. I guess we're all familiar with the book, and I didn't read it recently, but the term, the upside-down kingdom, it is different, it's opposite of our natural. What we would naturally think of, God's kingdom is opposite. What does a natural man think? I want to push myself forward. The Christian says, humility is the way of life. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Let's go to the Sermon on the Mount. And let's, through the message, think about the focus, my focus, my attitudes, inward or outward. I just like to look at, first of all, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Or, what's the opposite of that? Poor in spirit, or strong, or assertive, or pushing myself. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. Does that sound like something I would like to do? Or is that something God calls us to do? Blessed are they that mourn. What's the flip side of that? Blessed are, or no, what? How would the natural man like to see it? Blessed are, he would say, blessed are those that are having a high old time. Right? Blessed are the meek. Or blessed are the proud. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, right living. Or blessed are they which go after the wrong things. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Merciful. Or, I'm going to get even with you. Inward or outward. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Contrasted to those that have a heart after wrong things. Blessed are the peacemakers. Contrast that to, I'm going to get my way, whatever the cost. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Contrast to somebody which gets a pat on the back, even if it's doing something wrong. So you sense the difference of the inward focus or the outward focus. Let's just look on here in the Sermon on the Mount and think about, where is self? Where is me in some of these things? Verse 21, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. You get the difference. Thou shalt not kill is something that we, an action. But Jesus took it to another level saying, where's your attitude? Do you have that attitude of, I want to get even? Thou shalt not kill, but I say, he that is angry is wrong. Verse 27, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, here's a challenge. But I say, whoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, he's taking it to another level. We might be able to be clear on verse 27, committing the adultery, but is our thought life clear? Verse 33, swearing of oaths. Verse 37 says, let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Verse 38 says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, resist not evil. Bless your enemies, is what it goes on to say. Verse 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them which curse you, and do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect. Be ye therefore mature. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So let's have our thinking changed. And our actions will change. But let's look at our motives, our focus. John 13:34 is very familiar verses, but I think it's good to refresh ourselves. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. A new commandment, as I have loved you. How much did Jesus love us? I think that's the question here. In this chapter, he had just got done washing their feet. He loved them that much that he stooped down and washed their feet. And the next shortly to happen was he gave his life. How much did Jesus love us? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So other people are going to see how that we relate to each other. And they're going to say, they are followers of Jesus. They are Jesus' disciples. So where is me in all of this? Love one another as you have loved me. I guess the other passage I was thinking of, I don't have the reference here. Love God. The greatest commandment is to love God. The second, like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. So we all know the little song the children sing, J-O-Y. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. So, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. The phrase in there, love your neighbor as yourself. So, God is first, others next, and ourself last, in that order. I guess I would like to say that there is a certain amount that we are to care for ourselves, love ourselves, but not get things switched around and be up on the top. So where is the focus? Focus is on Christ and others and then ourselves. We could go into one anothering. We're looking about a focus outside of ourselves. There's, I'm told, over 50 passages that talk about one anothering. I'm not going there to 50 passages. But I did pick out a few. And one thing I like to say about it, Jesus is our example in one anothering. Let's turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. I read the first 8 verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than ourselves. There we have, let each esteem other better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is exchanging my mind for his mind. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He made himself of no reputation, took on him the form of a servant. There's something that each one of us should be saying, I want that. I want that. I want a heart like that. He is our example. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So that's the first area, having a heart, an humble heart, to be like Christ. Put on the mind of Christ. Next, let's go to Romans 15:5. And this we're going to be looking at, having a heart that is open. Romans 15:5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Okay, let's read on. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receive one another. Is be like-minded toward another, and also receive one another. 1 Peter 4. We were in 1 Peter before. First Peter 4:9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. So, what heart do we have? An open heart toward each other. The next thing I like to think about is our speech. What kind of speech? How do we talk to each other? I guess I will turn there. Seems like a lot of scripture, but Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So, what kind of speech do we have to each other? True love. Do we have a true love for each other? What does it say in 1 John? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Something that has more than just lip service, but something that is a deed, something we do. And what kind of interaction do we have? Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So, once again, in these that we just looked at here, is my focus inward or outward? Blessing on others or getting everything out of it that I can for myself? Okay, let's turn back to the Sermon on the Mount again, chapter 7. Beginning of the chapter. Judge not that ye be not judged. So, what's our attitude if we're feeling like judging? For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how long wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. So, what's our focus again? Are we being judgmental of the other person? First of all, we need to take care of what's in our own hearts. Second Corinthians. I don't know if you want to turn to this or not, but 2 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Our tendency is to compare ourselves with each other. 2 Corinthians 10, 12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So you got that picture? We are looking at each other and comparing me with you. It is not wise. Next verse. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. I guess I'd like to say, what measuring stick are we using? Comparing to me, or what does God say? And then over in 17 and 18, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, not in himself. For not he that commended himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So it's much better. We want God's commendation on our lives. Okay, we were in chapter 7 in Matthew. Just like to look at a few things in chapter 6. The beginning mention, but then the last part of chapter 6 is where we're going to get a good bit of our message here for this morning. First of all, it talks on, he gives some direction on how to give alms. And later on, he tells us how to pray. Jesus tells us how to pray and how to fast. What was the thing here? The challenge was these things. Are we doing it to be seen of others? With that, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Any one of these things. Praying, giving, praying, and fasting. Are we doing it to be seen? Then over in 19. What is our attitude toward our wealth? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what's our attitude toward wealth, our treasures? Treasures, I think it's something that we put a lot of value on. And it just means, definition of the word says wealth. Where's our treasure? Are we laying up treasure here? He that would be rich, he that is wanting to be rich, has a snare. It's a snare. So, are we laying up treasures here? Or are we laying up treasures in heaven? How much are we wanting to gather to ourselves? You ever heard the expression, get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid. Get. Put it in a can and sit on the lid. It's mine. I want it. I want to keep it. So how do we lay up treasures in heaven? Maybe we have a little bit of response on that one. How do we lay up treasures in heaven? One anothering, right? That's putting it in a nutshell. Look at whatever I talked about in one anothering, and that is putting treasure in heaven.
By caring for the scum of society, feeding them, feeding them to be Jesus.
Okay. caring for society. I have a verse in Proverbs I'd like to turn to. Proverbs 11:24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So here's a picture of the upside down kingdom again. Scattering, giving, scatter it, but we increase. We withhold, but it tends to poverty. We're trying to keep it, and it just disappears. The liberal soul, one that is ready to give it away, shall be made fat, and he that watered shall be watered also himself. Give someone else a blessing. You know what? I think you can identify with that. Bless someone else, and it comes back to us. It's back to Matthew 7 again. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. The light of the body is the eye. I'd like to just maybe simplify this a little bit. Sometimes this is one of those passages. You mean I'm supposed to just have one eye? The light of the body is the eye. The eye is talking about vision. So let's just say our vision. The light of the body has to do with our vision. If your vision be single. Now, what is single? Means to be clear. Not covered over, not tainted. If your eye be clear, if it be healthy, then your whole body is full of light, well illuminated. We know what a clean... Well, I have glasses. You know what clean glasses are like. You know what it's like when it's foggy. We get our vision is much better when we have that cleared up. When you clean the bugs off the windshield, you say, this is much better. So we can see much better. But if thine eye be evil... Now this, the word evil, if your vision is evil, then there's a wide variety of definitions that fit that word. It could be labors, annoyances, hardships, pain, trouble. And then we can come right down to bad or corrupt or sinful. If our eye is like that, then what happens? The window is hazy, it's opaque, it's benighted, is the one word. It is like nighttime. So let's have our vision clear and healthy, and we'll be well illuminated. No man can serve two masters. Who is the master of my life? We can't serve two. It will be one or the other. God or mammon. Now, here's another one that I'd like to think about a little bit. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And that... Verse 34, no thought for the morrow. Verse 31, take no thought. So that means don't be anxious about it. It doesn't mean don't think about it. Just don't be over anxious. Don't be over anxious for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, your body, what you're going to put on. So, your raiment. God clothes the grass of the field. Therefore, take no thought. No, don't get anxious about verse 31, what we eat or drink or wear, what clothing we're going to wear. That should not be, once again, it shouldn't be our focus. Our focus should be, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's spend our time with the King. Look to the King before we engage in what we are doing. Now, I'd like to think of something else in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8. And this part of the message is on our giving. Let's just begin reading chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you wit, you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Sounds like they were going through some tough times, but yet they were liberal, their liberality, their giving. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. I believe they took an offering from one place to the other. I don't have it right here in front of me right now, but this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So that's a point I'd like to pull out. Their giving was first of all themselves. And then it was, I believe, in a financial way. Verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also, the grace of giving, grace of offering. He is saying, he noticed the sincerity of their love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Let's go down to, let's read on here. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality. Let's think about that a little bit. That's a reason why we have an offering. Others have a need. We have plenty. So it helps to bring equality. But by inequality, that now at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. So that was referring back to manna, but applies well to the offering as well. Over in chapter 9, first two verses, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, which for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. So he was saying, why am I writing this? I believe you're already doing it and doing it well. And here are some of the principles behind giving. Verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So God has made the grace abound toward us. That's a lot said there in that verse. All sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That's I was going to say big words, little words with a lot in it. All, short word, but how much is all? Verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Well, that's what happens when we give. It causes thanksgiving. For the ministration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So, not only does when we give, it's a blessing to those we give to, but God also gets a blessing. So, as I was thinking about these principles, what is my focus? We talked about our focus. Inward or outward? And I was thinking about some discussion we had in brothers' meeting. Insurance or not to have insurance, brotherhood assistance. Insurance has more of a me focus. I want to be protected from loss. Brotherhood sharing, I'd like to turn it around and say, I'm not in this sharing plan just for what I can get out of it, but I'm in it to be a blessing to everybody. In other words, I want to help whenever someone else has a need. How can I bear my brother's burden? It's an other focus. Others rather than myself. Sure, there's times when we may need it, but that's not really what the focus is. It's to be a blessing to others. And I guess I'd like to encourage the young men. You say, well, I don't have medical needs, but there's others that do. And someday you might. There might be whatever, an accident of some sort. You might be needed. It might be needed. So it's better to be on board and helping. Someday you might need it. And I guess the odds are someday you will need it. We just don't know when. So I'm just giving that as an encouragement. And I guess toward the young men, I think it's a good time to give when you're able to give. I guess another thought I had with the sharing plan that we have, I look at it as a savings account. It's a place or a way for us to give regularly. And I think it's good to have something like that. For myself, I find I don't do very well trying to do a savings or do that thing by myself. But to do it as a congregation, as a group, then it happens. It happens much. It happens. That's my experience. So, what does it say? The end of chapter 6 in Matthew. Take no thought for the morrow. Well, how do we reconcile that? Here we are with a savings account. Take no thought for the morrow. How do we reconcile those two? I would say it's the anxious thought. I think we need to be proactive. Let's think about the ant in Proverbs. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. See, the ant does gather things in ahead of time. So I think it's right that we do that. So, in closing, I'd just like to come back to our focus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right living, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God does promise to take care of us. We need to do some things on purpose ourselves, but God does care for us. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Yes, Lord, we come to you at the end of this message, and we want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for the direction that you give us in your word. Pray that you would help us to take what applies in our lives and put them to practice. Help us to think of others rather than ourselves. May that be our attitude, our focus, and seeking your kingdom and your righteousness as we go through life. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.